there, and thank you for tuning in to this week's talk. We are so pumped you decided to join us. To get the full experience out of today's message, we recommend downloading or opening up the Church on the Ridge mobile app, where you can fill out notes and take them with you throughout the week. Without further ado, here's this week's talk.
You know, you ever gotten frustrated with the things that happen in your life? Right? It's a dumb question because we get frustrated. Things happen we didn't ask for. We didn't invite into our life. They just happen and frustration comes. And you're going, man, why is this happening? How come this is taking place with me? And there is an enemy we're going to talk about that takes these, I don't know, occurrences that take place, sometimes natural occurrence, sometimes it's just the rain. You know how frustrated I am right now because it's going to rain all week long. It just messes up our site over there and the mud, and they can't pour the pavement for the parking lot and all the stuff. And he takes that natural frustration or the normal things of life that come that we don't ask for, that are frustrating, and he starts picking at us. And there is a fight that begins to take place. And I can start, and if I'm not ready for that, I will start attacking the wrong things, the wrong people, the wrong enemy. When my kids were little, I coached Little League. And one of the things that you teach Little League is this. What is this called? Yeah, the ready position. Now, I wasn't a very good teacher because we didn't win a single game. But, you know, every once in a while, that eight-year-old would connect, and the ball would come flying at him, and I'd go, ready position! And he'd look at his feet, and look at, and then where... And you know what's great? They wouldn't even run after the ball. They let the guy behind him go get it. I mean, they were that. You know, there's no wonder why we didn't win a game, right? We were never ready. If you ever took martial arts, right? They teach you first thing, hey, the battle stance, right? Get in your stance and be ready. Because if you're standing like this, ready for battle, you're going to get hurt. Many of us are getting hurt with the frustrations of life because the enemy has taken those frustrations and he is adding to them and messing with you. Paul tells us about the fight. I'm so thankful the Bible is so real for us that he tells us about the fight. In Ephesians 6, he says, defend yourself against the devil's tricks. Interesting, tricks. Another word that is translated there is schemes, sneak attacks. You're frustrated with this and you get a sneak attack. The ball goes through your legs and now you're right? Makes it worse. We just came out of the anniversary of what? 9/11, yeah. Where we were attacked by an enemy. We thought it was a plane just, you know, off course and crashing into a building. And we discovered that, no, that was a sneak attack by a terrible enemy. The last time this happened to us was in Pearl Harbor, where another sneak attack took place. And we weren't ready. And all of our ships were there, lined up in the harbor, just boom, attacked. Almost 3,000 people die in 9/11, almost 2,500 in Pearl Harbor. And the damage in your own life is very significant if you're not ready for the enemy. Your marriage can be lost. Your kids can be estranged from you. You lose your job because you're not ready and the enemy adds insult to injury. Many of us get snuck up on. You're no good. You're worthless. How in the world could you ever expect God to do anything for you? You know, it's crazy, but if you were here through our marriage series, Better Together series, my wife and I did a lot of the teaching. And she's upstairs with the three-year-olds right now. But she was sitting right here where you guys are. And I just before I get up to talk, I go and I tell her something. She goes, well, that's not going to work. Now, I don't know what you feel like when your wife tells you that's not going to work. And if you're a guy like me who says, no, it's my idea, it's going to work. I don't know what you're talking. What do you mean it's not going to work? I said it. That settles it. It's going to work. So I finished, we've just gone through this series. We're teaching together our life, man. We're talking about how to get along, how to communicate, talking about our differences, all this stuff. I come off the platform. I said, hey, are you ready to change your mind? She says, no, it's not going to work. We get into it. We're right here in church. I just preached the last message of the last talk of the series, Better Together, and we are having a discussion right here. And I'm like, people are watching us. Right? I don't know if you saw it or not, but there was a look on my face that I can get. And she was just like, I just, it's not going to work. She says, well, she goes, you know what? I'm going to go home. And I went, you know what? That's just fine because I have the car. You rode with me. She goes, I know, but I'm not riding with you. Fine. She walked home. I drove home. And all the way home, I'm going, hey, she's going to see this, and she's going to see this, and she's going to see this. And when she gets home, she will have figured it out herself, and she'll know that I'm right. And I am there, and I finally, man, I'm home. And you know, you're home, and you're kind of pacing your house because the other person's not there that you want to set straight. Is it just me? And I'm there, and I'm pacing the house. And this whole concept, this whole idea of being ready for the attack. Sandy and I have not fought in months. We've learned this stuff. We get it. But this was, and it hit me. Oh. The ball went right through my legs. I wasn't prepared for this. I wasn't ready for this battle. But thankfully, it hadn't gone long enough to where we had done a ton of damage, because what typically happens in an experience like that, it will just wreck the afternoon, right? Just come out of church, and just now the afternoon's gone. And there have been times when it has wrecked the week. I don't know if you're familiar with this term, détente. It was a term during the Cold War where, hey, you know what? We'll just act like we're at peace, but our thumb's on the button. You know, you just do one thing, and man, I'm going to DEFCON 12. And she came home, and I said, I know what the problem is here. The enemy is telling me, lying to me. And I humbled myself. I said, hey, talk to me about this. And it wasn't 15 minutes and this thing changed. I'm so thankful. The Bible is practical. And instead of wrecking my afternoon or her afternoon and wrecking our week, within just a few minutes, this thing dissipated. Jesus said this when he was talking about being watchful and looking for the enemy. He said, be dressed and ready for service. Keep your lamps burning. And he's talking about how the enemy comes as a thief in the night, and you've got to be ready for the enemy when he comes, and because he's sneaky and he doesn't do things up front. We don't know the day or the hour the enemy's going to come, but we've got to be ready for him. How thankful I am that the Bible teaches us and tells us this. The first thing I want you to learn about this is that it's not my power that's going to defeat this frustration, this enemy, this attack. It's not my armor that's going to do it. It's God's. Paul wrote this in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians, he's writing to this church that he started. He's in prison, and he's just giving them some encouragement, how to live your life, how to have a great marriage, how to raise your kids, how to walk and know God, and actually know God, and not just know about God, but have him as an intimate kind of relationship that you're walking with him. He says, and finally, here's the last thing, man. And he's there in prison, and I think I can see him looking up through the prison bars there, and he looks and he sees the soldier who's guarding him, and he's kind of checking that out. He says, guys, finally, be strong in God's mighty power. All y'all want to be strong in your own power, but you need to be strong in God's mighty power. And don't put on your own armor. Put on God's armor, that you'll be able to stand firm against the strategies, the schemes, the sneak attacks of the enemy. It's God's power. It's God's armor. And Paul knew something about trying to fight this enemy, this extra force. When frustration comes, then it's just added on. Oh, she's the problem. Oh, she needs to straighten up. Oh, that added thing that tells you all this stuff. And he knows something about this. There's another town in northern Greece called Philippi. And it's really cool because my Hannah, my middle girl, had just gone through a discipleship school, and now they landed just like last night in Greece, and they're going to be working with Syrian refugees there. And so she's there in Greece, and Philip, 2,000 years ago, there wasn't a single Christian person who claimed Christ. They didn't even know the word Jesus. Wouldn't even understand this term Christian. You just imagine, they you think about Greek mythology, they had all kinds of pagan temples and all kinds of different gods that they kind of bowed to and tried to follow and live their life by. And Paul comes in with his buddy Timothy. They're missionaries, like really real missionaries, never first time with bringing a message of hope and love of a God of the universe. And these people they're religious people, they're spiritual people, they have some understanding, there's something out there bigger than themselves, but they just haven't been told about this guy Jesus. And so they're coming to this town, and they'll meet people and start up a conversation and talk to the person about God's grace and who Jesus is, this man who came as God and he died and he rose again. So this is happening. And the Bible says this, and the screen here says, now it happened as they were going along to the place of prayer. So they had found a place. Hey, you know what? We're gonna need some strength to do this stuff. We're going to actually start a church in this city and help people find Christ. And we need to pray. And a certain girl. It's like, oh, so, all right, just some girl. Check this out. Having a spirit of Python. Whoa. Interesting. Now, if you know anything about the new part of the Bible, the New Testament, it was written in Greek. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew and some Aramaic, but it was written in Greek. And so the words have to be translated for you and I to understand. Unless you read Koine Greek, you read it in somebody's translation. And the Berean literal Bible translates this word Python because that is the actual literal word. If you read Greek, you'd read it there and it says spirit of Pythos, Python. And when you think of Python, what do you think of? Yeah, big snake, not a little snake, big dude. This is a big snake, a big dragon, a big serpent. So this certain girl has a spirit of Python, a spirit of something, a constriction, suck the life out of. And this girl, under the influence of this spirit of Python, goes in these trances or whatever, and is the psychic hotline lady. And she will tell people's fortunes, and she's good at it, and they make a lot of money at it. But here is this python, this serpent, this snake. Some translations just call it a spirit, an evil spirit, a spirit of divination, but the literal word is python. And I went, yeah, that's interesting. Go all the way back. If you know the Bible, go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Here's Adam and Eve. And they are tempted by what? A serpent. Snake. Python. And this serpent, this spirit, comes along and said, did God really say that you shouldn't eat this? You know what? God's holding out on you. If God really loved you, he'd let you eat anything. Hey, God just doesn't want you to become like God. Oh, you can have all the power that God has. And this temptation, and they're not ready for it. And they succumb to the python. And you know the story. That which was once a garden, they are now having to work by the sweat of their brow and the thorns and the weeds that grow up. And so many of us started a new job and it was the garden that's going to be great. And our boss turned out to be a putz. And so we begin to see this. And now this job is sucking the life out of us. And we entered into a marriage and it's going to be a wonderful garden. And wow, I can't wait to be married to this person. This is just going to be joyous and whatever. And temptation comes. And how come he does it like this? And why won't she understand? How come he? Snake is sucking the life out of us. You ever tried to fight a snake? My wife, when we lived in Texas for 10 years, and we had this gorgeous house, you know, it was just awesome. It was twice the house we have here, and a third of the money, and the whole deal. And anyway, I'd start coveting my old. Anyway, she's in the shower. She's taking a shower, and in Texas they got water moccasins, they got rattlesnakes, they got stuff. Texas is great, but they got some stuff there that. She's taking a shower. A snake comes up out of the drain. She's in the shower, and this snake is there, and it's in the corner now, hissing at her. And she's screaming. And my kids were little, right? Stephen and Hannah and Caleb. Caleb was worthless, but and he's like three, right? And she's screaming. And finally, Stephen runs in the garage, gets a shovel, hands it to Hannah. Hannah runs it into Mom, and she is smashing the snake and quoting scripture. And she will crush the serpent with her heel, and deals with that thing. Have you ever tried to fight the serpent in your own life, constricting you? Today's the day. I'm not going to worry. I will not worry. I'm not going to stress over this. Our money will be fine. It's going to be fine. I'm not going to worry. Oh no, what's going to happen? We're never going to be able to pay for kids' college. We're never going to be able to pay the bills. We're never going to be able to, right? Okay. Today, I'm going to be patient with my kids. They're not going to set me off. I'm not going to allow it to happen. I will not let my kids set me off. I'm going to speak nice and calmly to my children all day long. I'm going to be patient with my enemy. Why
won't you kids ever listen? Ugh.
And the garden becomes weeds. I'm going to be nice to my husband today. I'm going to get home from work on time today and tell my wife how important she is to me. And I come through the door, and it's like she's got a spirit of Python. I'm going to quit this habit. I'm going to beat this thing. This addiction is not going to, this is the last time. I'm not going to do this again. And you discover you can't do it in your own strength. And Paul discovered something about this little girl with the spirit of Python. Look at the verse. It says, having followed Paul and us, Luke is writing this, Timothy's there with them, and she was crying out. It's important that you understand those words, crying out. These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim the way to you the way of salvation. And this went on for many days. She continued this for many days. Think about this. You read this in just a casual reading, you go, well, she's actually helping these guys. These people don't know Jesus. They've never met him. They don't have any understanding of him. And so she is now proclaiming, hey, guys, listen to them. These people know the way to set you free. They really have a connection with God, and they can be set free. Right? Oh, this goes on for many days. Paul's distressed. What we don't read is, or what we don't understand, if we don't understand the context, if you read the historical teachings of Jesus in the Gospels, these spirits, these pythons, these demonic forces, these forces, evil forces, would come and try to mess up Jesus' work. And they would say very similar stuff. Oh, this is Jesus, the Son of the Most High God. Oh, this is the King. And Jesus would rebuke them. Because they were not saying this to reinforce the truth. They were saying this to distract from the truth. Could you imagine in your workplace, someplace, you're going, hey, you know what? These people don't know Jesus. I'm going to be someone who's going to be a light, and I'm going to share life with these people and try to communicate Christ. And so you start sharing, you know, and the person kind of leans in and goes, wow, this is cool. And then right over here, this person goes, bah, don't listen to him. He's a servant of the Most High God. He's going to proclaim to you the way of salvation. And they're crying out, ah, don't listen to him. They're servants of the Most High God proclaiming the way of salvation. The guy's going, what is going on? Maybe we could just talk later. No, I really got not. He's a servant of the Most High God, proclaiming the way of salvation. Are you annoyed yet? Another translation for the word distressed is annoyed, and Paul was annoyed. This happens for many days. And you can imagine Paul going, listen, little girl, can you go do that someplace else? Listen, little girl, listen, get out of here. Go away. Listen, if this is how you're going to act, I don't want you around. Please get out of here. And over and over and over and over again. And finally he gets to the place, he's like, man, I'm frustrated. And I don't know what finally hits Paul, but I can just see him getting to the place where he's going, I need something bigger than me. I can't do this in my own power. If I'm going to start a church in this community, it's going to be something bigger than me. I'm sorry. Finally acknowledged, he needs a greater power. If any of you have gone through Alcoholics Anonymous, anybody remember what the first step is? I am powerless. I can't do this. I'm powerless. I can't save my own marriage. I can't make my own kids. I can't overcome this boss. It says, and Paul, having been distressed and having turned, he said to the Spirit, I command you, not in my own name, not in my own power, but in the name of the King of the universe, come out of her. All the work he did was nothing, brought frustration to distress. How many times you tried to change your spouse? If she would stop, if I can get my kids, if my boss would only, if the government would just, those teachers, man, I'm going to go give them a piece of my mind. I've got this thing figured out. And the enemy is just sucking life out of you. Anybody ever watch Popeye? Cartoon Popeye? Anybody admit that? Okay. That was so cool. You know, Brutus would come along, steal olive oil. Popeye would stand up and say, hey, you can't take her. And what would Brutus do? Like grab him by the ankles and go boom, 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 boom. You know, and as a kid, you're watching, you go, come on, what did you want him to do? Eat the spinach, eat the spinach, eat the spinach. And he wouldn't do it, and he wouldn't do it. And Brutus just beat the snot out of him. And he'd eat the spinach. And finally, Popeye would get to the place where he'd say those words. You remember those words? I've had all I can stands, and I can't stands no more. Right? And then, poof, and his arms would go big like Steve Garvey. And, you know, some of you baseball fans remember Garvey. And he would take Brutus and he would win the day. Some of you, your marriage is just getting beat up. And I watch you and your jobs are getting beat up. And I keep wondering, why won't you eat the spinach? And maybe some of you are here today and you're out of place where you're going, I had all I can stands and I can't stands no more. And God brought you here. Say, there's an answer to the fight, to the python that's restricting you. And sucking the life out of you. If you were here last week, you remember we had this saying in Jude verse 9, the Lord rebuke you. Boy, how many times you rebuked your husband, you rebuked your kids, you rebuked your spouse, you rebuked. No. No. Can't do it. Number two, know your enemy. Know your enemy. Look at the next verse. It says, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Notice that first line. Go back to that first line, Maureen. It says, we don't fight against flesh and blood enemies. All right? Here's what I want you to do. In your seat in front of you is a pen, a little pocket there. Grab a pen. Everybody grab a pen and pull it out, and then get the pen piece out. So click it, so make sure the pen piece is out. And hold it really tight in your hand, right? Hold it really tight. And I want you to take it, I want you to jab it in the leg of the person next to you. Just jab it really hard, right? Now, if blood comes out, they are not your enemy. We don't fight against flesh and blood. Oh, those people! Oh! No, we fight against the spirit behind those people, influencing those people, affecting those people. And if we try to fight the person, what happens? C.S. Lewis wrote once, he said, the greatest thing that the enemy can do is to make you believe he is not real. And the enemy has done a really good job in the West. We don't believe in the supernatural. I mean, we kind of, maybe a little bit. We don't believe in evil spirits and unseen forces and heavenly realms, all this stuff. We go, And the enemy goes, yes. Because if you don't believe there's something behind that, then you will fight the flesh and blood. You will fight the person. Because that's what you can see and taste and put in a petri dish. And they're the problem. And obviously they're the problem. And we're fighting the wrong enemy, and the enemy's going, yes, go ahead, tear him apart. Go ahead, divorce. You don't deserve, that person doesn't deserve you anyway. Just leave him. You know what? You've had it with your kids. You've done everything you can do. If you don't believe in an unseen world, I know police officers will take you into Seattle. And they'll show you these places where the vice have to go in, and you'll find a 12-year-old. Who's being terribly abused. See, you know, this is not human. There's evil behind this. People don't do this to people. And it's masked really well here on the East Side. The evil is not going to show up at your doorstep in a red suit and a pitchfork going, let me in and destroy your family. No, lock the door. Oh, the thief comes in the night. Thief is a sneak attack. Instead, you hear the voices, the temptation. You're never going to get out of this. Your boss is never going to let you get ahead. Those teachers are going to keep your children oppressed. And even worse, it begins to attack you personally. You caused this. This is all your fault anyway. God doesn't even love you. Why should God answer your prayer? We work hard at fighting the wrong enemy, attacking even ourselves, and we're flesh and blood, and we are not the enemy. And there's a real enemy out there that continues to suck the life out of us. Number three, don't fight undressed, half-dressed. Undressed, half-dressed. The next verse says, use every piece of God's armor to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Every piece of God's armor. So that in the battle, you will still be standing firm. If I had not stopped and covered my heart when Sandy and I were at it and she needed to see it my way, my emotions were taking over. I've not covered my heart. We'll talk about the chest plate in a little bit, but I've not covered my heart. I would not be standing firm. And the enemy's going, yes. Yes. Tear her up. In seventh grade, I went out for the seventh grade football team, and we played tackle in the seventh grade. And so they give you a helmet, and they give you shoulder pads, and they give you thigh pads, and you got to get these cleats for your shoes and some shin guards, and you know, and you get out there, and it's, man, I'm wearing these pads, and you just look like a, you know, wobbly doll, whatever. But you're out there, and then the eighth graders come by, and they do this thing where they hit you right in the crotch, and what do they yell, guys? Cup check. Right? Well, you're seventh grade. You don't know anything about cups. You don't know anything about that stuff. You just, but they go, boom, oh, cup check, ha, ha, ha. Right? Because some eighth grader did it to them. And you can have all this great armor. Got great pads, great show, all the stuff. And boom, ah. We think, hey, because I get my verse of the day on my app on my phone, and you know, we never use Easy anymore, but we get our you know, our verse of the day on my app. Hey, I'm good. Whew, I'm suited up. Got my verse of the day. It's great. Hey, you know, I told God thank you for my food. I'm good. Whoa. I went to church for an hour on the weekend. Man, what is that? Is there a spirit behind that thing? I rebuke that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jack. You're going to bring me something, aren't you? Hey, I went to church for an hour this weekend. Hey, I'm good. I got some shin guards on. Cup check. Oh. Why do I continue to lose? God says, put on the full armor, every piece. You can't go in half-dressed. Let's go through them. The first one, stand therefore with the truth like a belt around your waist. Now, when Paul is writing this, he's writing in prison, I told you, and he's writing letters, but he's got other things to do. You're in prison, not a whole lot to do, so the guards are there, and he would actually make friends with the guards. He's trying to lead them to this idea of who Jesus is and to understand him, and historical history tells us about some of the guards that he led to Christ. There are anecdotal stories, but cool. He's leading the guards to Christ. That's really great. He's talking to them, and he's not a soldier. He's a rabbi, and he's tell me about your different pieces of the armor there. And so, the guards are talking to him about it. He says, well, yeah, the belt. And he's going, hey, you know, there's a spiritual connection here. There's a spiritual tie in here. The belt of truth. You wear your belt, and it holds the sword. Man, and maybe a bugle, a horn here, and some other utensils, stuff that's really important. But then the guard says, yeah, but that's not the most important stuff. I mean, yeah, we got to have our sword, we got to have our equipment, but here's what we do. We'll take our tunics, and they didn't wear, you know, camo pants and Kevlar, anything like that. They had tunics on, looked like dresses, and they would pull up the dress and shove it into their belt so that now they could run freely, ready for battle. If this thing was hanging down and they had to sprint or run, they'd trip them up and they'd fall over. Like, whoa, no, this gets the stuff out of the way. I watch people who have not learned the truth,
will talk about the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, but they haven't learned the truth, and they'll get tripped up all the time. Oh, you're one of those Christian people. And you kind of have confidence. Well, yes, I am. Because you know it's the right thing to say, because I am. So, you know, that religion is the worst religion ever. Your religion, your own holy book condones slavery. You guys are the most pathetic people in the world. You condone slavery. How in the world could you even follow this guy, Jesus? And you're, Pastor, does the Bible say that we condone slavery? And I'm like, have you not read it? Well, I get my verse of the day. Okay, well, maybe do a little bit more. And poof, they're tripped up. And if you don't call me, then you're like questioning your own ideas behind it. Maybe this thing isn't real. Maybe the thing isn't right. Another one. Hey, God, seriously? Okay, prove there's a God. Just prove there's a God. Come on, let's put it in the petri dish. Let's just do a little scientific method here on this thing. There's no God. Hey, you just because you feel something burning in your bosom, there's a God. Boom, tripped up. Nothing to say. Nothing to come back with. And I watch Christians, people who say they're people of faith, and they're going without their belt and little truth. He goes on, he says, righteousness like the armor on your chest. Righteousness, like the armor on your chest. What's that covering? Well, some vital organs here. The primary one is your heart. Your heart. The seat of your emotions. How many times have we allowed our emotions, man, if things are going great, yay, wonderful, and then, oh, we're depressed and life is terrible. Oh, it's great, and we're like a yo-yo. Our emotions are just playing us up and down, up and down, up and down. Instead of allowing our emotions to dictate our life, the Bible says allow the truth to dictate our life, but instead, because we're not protecting him, he goes, oh, look, it's never going to get better. Oh, man, this is the worst it's ever been. Oh, man, it's not going to last. If you're on a high, it's not going to last. You know you're just going to go right back down. You know they're not going to stay the same. And boom, 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 boom. And you're bleeding out, and the enemy's squeezing you to death. And you put on truth, the breastplate of righteousness. You're no good. You're never any good. God's never going to answer your prayers. Look, you're going to be in depression forever. It's never going to stop raining if you've got, seasonal affective disorder. Yeah, that means no sunshine here in the Northwest. And it's like, oh, really, it's raining again. It's going to rain all week. And you're in this thing. And why would God answer your prayer? Because you're such a terrible person. Think about, why would God answer your prayer? I'm serious. Why would God answer your prayer? Think about all the things you've done. And I go, you know what? You're right. I don't deserve nothing. Man, the things that have come out of my mouth, things that I hope you never, ever, ever learn about, I've hidden them so far back, and just don't ever let that one out. No. No. I guess I shouldn't even pray. I really don't deserve anything from God. Man, where's your chest plate? Because here's what the Bible says. God, who knew no sin, became sin for Charlie. He took all that garbage, all that foulness, all that stuff he's got hidden, so that he might become what? The righteousness of God. You know what? Satan, do your worst. Ping, 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 ping. Because I'm the righteousness of God. Not by my own power. Not because I deserve it. Because he who knew no sin became sin for me. And I get up in the morning and say, come on, world. I'm not going to let my emotions dictate my joy and my happiness, because I have been set free. My emotions, my heart is safe with the one I gave it to. Number three, on your feet, wear the good news of peace so that you can stand strong. On your feet, wear the good news of peace so that you can stand strong. And he's the soldier saying, you know, one of the most important things for us to be able to fight is we got to lace up our sandals really tight. You know, we normally just kind of wear them loose and it's fine. But if we're going to go into battle, man, we got to have those things. And if you ever played sports, you know, man, you lace up your cleats nice and tight. You can't go into that thing. If you've ever done any climbing, anything like that, you got to have a firm foundation there. You got to be able to stand. If this thing starts slipping, man, you're lost. It's never going to get any better. You're fretting, you're stressed, you're worried. And you're getting slipped all over. You get a report and it goes, oh man, I didn't know that check was written and it came out of my account. And oh man, I don't know how I'm going to pay. And man, and all of a sudden the enemy has robbed your joy and there's no peace and you're stressed and you're worried. And we haven't stopped to say, wait a minute. What did the master say? What did the commander-in-chief say? Before he left this earth, he said, guys, peace. I'm going to leave this with you. I'm going to leave it like shoes at the door. Here, take these shoes. Peace. Yeah. My peace I give to you. I don't give you peace like the world gives. No. World gives you peace. Hey, man, you're a little distressed. Here, drink this. Let's go get a beer. In fact, we need the hard stuff. Let's get a little more. Here, take this pill, man. What do they call it? Shopping therapy? Come on, let's go shopping. Yeah, you'll feel better. That's the stuff the world gives. Hey, and it masks the pain. It kind of numbs the pain, and you feel a little bit better. So you go, well, okay, at least it's better than having this sense of dread over my life. But instead, Jesus says, hey, here's your shoes of peace, man. It's the good news. You are loved and graced by God. Now, lace them up tight. And maybe you had to practice this every day. You get up, and I'm a shoe guy. I love shoes. And I go, okay, I'm putting these on. And you know what? I'm not just putting on shoes. I'm going to wear peace today. So that when I walk into a room, people go, hey, Charlie, come on in. Instead of, oh, here comes this guy. He's going to be all... Do you know people like that? You want to be around them because the world could be falling apart, man, and the whole thing could be just a mess. And they walk in, you go, okay. The storm is raging, but they have a sense of calm about them. And you look at them and you go, what's different about you? Man, the whole department is panicking and are you weird? No, oh, I put my shoes on today. Yeah, I picked up the peace that God gives. I laced them up tight. They go, can I get some of that? Yeah. Or you can walk in and they say, man, you go to Church on the Ridge. You got any help? No, I don't know what to do either. It's a mess. Number four, shield of faith. At all times, carry the shield of faith, for with it you'll be able to put out all the burning arrows shot by the evil one. These burning arrows, this is the stuff we're talking about. Just these messages, this stuff that comes through. You're no good. You're not going to make it. Your kids are no good. Your marriage is no good. All this stuff. Oh, man, your money's going to, just boom, 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 boom. We get hit by this all the time. And here's Paul talking to the soldier. He says, man, tell me about that. Tell me that cool shield. And if you've seen them, there's these, nice long rectangle things, almost full body. And these guys, when they would get their shields, they'd never go out to battle alone. The Romans were famous for this. They conquered the known world. Little tiny Roman place, they conquered the known world because they developed these tactics with their shields to say, look, it's not just one guy. If we're going to go into battle, you're going to link arms with the guy on your left, and the guy on your right is going to link arms with you, and you're going to lock those arms together, and those shields are going to be right there. And it's not just from your front, but those arrows can come from your side, they can come from your back, they can come from above. But when we link arms together, we will be a shield against you, and you can't do this alone. And so many of us go, hey, I don't need anybody else. I can handle this. And boom, it hits you from the side. Whoa, wasn't prepared for that one. Yeah, you're half-dressed. Jesus never intended us to do this thing called Christianity by ourselves. He said, you've got to link arms with a brother or sister. And he calls them brothers and sisters because he says your spiritual family can actually grow closer than your natural family. And if you've experienced, you know what it's like, because there are times when, man, the arrows are coming and I'm going, I don't know what to do. And I will link arms with Jeff He'll pull me in tight, and he'll link arms with Jana, and Jana will link arms with Sandy, and Sandy will link arms with John. And John and April are brand new to our group, and they're learning how to link arms together. And all of a sudden, he says, Charlie, you can make it. Man, I think I caught one in the leg. I know, but we're not going to let you fall. We're not going to let you stumble. And that's the last one that's going to catch you. Thanks for sending me the text. Thanks for letting me know, because now we're in this together. And have you ever seen how the Romans defeated? Because they defeated armies way, way bigger than themselves, because they used this tactic. And these barbarians would come out of the hills with face paint on and a butt flap and a big old axe. And, you know, and as long as they would stand strong and their arms linked together, they'd continue to work through. They would come out victorious. Where's your faith? I don't know. Well, who are you linking arms with? Who's got their shield next to you? Cool. Oh, man. I can't tell you how many times I get the phone call. Pastor, man, I'm just getting... where's your community group? Well, I already know the answer. I'm not in one. And I can tell you there are countless stories here at Church on the Ridge. Man, I got the phone call from the doctor, and he said it was cancer. Oh, man, I got the phone call. My child has got this. And all of a sudden, man, there's a group around them, and they're holding them up, and they're supporting them. They will say things like, I never could have made it without the faith of my comrades. I don't use comrades, but my brothers and sisters. Never could have made it without my community group. And they're able to stand strong with the shield of faith. I wonder, Kevin, can you sign up for a community group today? Someone's saying yes. Okay, thanks, Joe. Joe's in charge of our discipleship. Thank you, Joe. All right, number five. Put on the helmet of salvation. This one's obvious. It's our brain, right? Our thinker. We can get into our own thinking. Man, what about this? 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 You can't sleep at night because you're going, what about this? What about this? What about this? And the brain will not stop. And it's just like, oh, no, oh, no, oh, no, oh, no. Wait a minute. I am saved. I'm a child of God. God loves me. He has transformed me. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that is grafted and joined into him by faith in him as the Savior, I am a new creature. The mind that is in Christ is now in me. It's no longer my old way of thinking. I don't think the way I used to think, but I've been transformed and renewed by the Holy Spirit. The old things, the old way I thought, my old condition has passed away. All things have become new. There's a spiritual awakening in my life. I don't have to think that way. And as soon as I say that I'm not saved, I've got to handle this on my own, boom, 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 boom. Oh, no, I'm saved. Last one, sword of the Spirit. I got to close. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The only offensive weapon that Paul lists there. All the rest are defensive weapons. He says, hey, man, you know that belt thing? Can you imagine a Roman soldier going out there and forgetting his sword? Ah, I got my shield. Got my sandals tightened up. Got a nice belt. Tucked my tunic in. Okay, you might as well just run. You got no sword. Ridiculous. How many of us as believers, man, we don't have any real concept of the Word of God, or any real concept of the knowledge, and you may be brand new to this thing. And I would encourage you to get a good Bible and start looking at it and spending some time in it. We have been encouraging you now for almost 2 years to spend 7 minutes a day. I mean, right now, you've got your VCR going, you're taping the game, you'll make sure you're going to watch it. You're going to fast forward through those commercials. Because you're not going to miss the game. But here's what the enemy does. He will distract you and say, you don't have time to read the Bible today. Oh, man, no, the kids are already up. Oh, man, you got an early morning appointment. So, oh, man, you slept in. You just need another few minutes of sleep. You know, skip your Bible reading. Skip your Bible reading. Don't do this. And you'll. Sin will keep you from the Bible, and the Bible will keep you from sin. The enemy is beating you up. Have you looked into it at all? Because God will give you a message for that day. It happens all the time. I just read that this morning. I didn't have a clue what it meant. Sometimes I'm reading the Bible, I don't know sure what it means. And then throughout that day, God, thank you. Thank you that you're the God of the universe. Satan, shut up. Get out of here. Let me ask you two questions. We'll close. How do I put on this armor? What's the practice behind it? Well, thankfully, Paul tells us. The next verse says, do all of this. Put this stuff on in prayer. asking God for help. Today, God, I'm going to need your help. I need my mind to think clearly. I need my emotions to be safe. I need truth around my waist. I've got to get my shoes laced tight. God, I need faith. I need the brothers and sisters in my life to walk this thing out. And God, I need your truth to work through me in Jesus' name. And then he says, pray on every occasion. So not just first thing, but pray on every occasion. All right, what's the occasion? Well, the kids are coming down for breakfast. I'm going to pray. That's an occasion. Hey, I'm getting into traffic. That's an occasion. I'm going to pray. You know, I'm going into this sales meeting. That's an occasion. I'm going to pray. Hey, I got to talk with an employee who's not really doing what he needs to do. That's an occasion. I'm going to pray. You know, I got to see my boss about something. I'm going to pray. I got to write this email. That's an occasion. And you find yourself allowing God to be a part of your life throughout your entire day instead of he's there on the weekend. He's there maybe when you think about him, but he's actually a part of your life. And you're walking in the armor of God and the strength of God. And the python comes and tries to squeeze the life out of you. And you go, no. And people look and go, I want to be that guy. I want to be her. How do they do that? Because the same storm that's hitting me is hitting them, and they are standing firm and strong. The next series that we're moving into starting next week, we're going to be talking about how we engage with God throughout the day, every day. I hope you'll join us for us because it will be transformative in your life. Let me ask you a question. Which piece of the armor do you forget the most? Do you need the most? If you're going to receive God's armor, first you have to do the first step. Admit you're powerless. Some of you here, you're still not convinced that you can't do it in your own strength. And you're resisting that. Oh, I know I can get my wife to... I know I can get my... Oh, if I... This. Pastor, you know what I'm saying? It's all about this. And you're missing the spirit behind it because you have not given your life to Christ. You've not said, Jesus, I need you. I can't do this on my own. And to humble yourself, say, God, you're a God and I'm not. I've had all I can stand and I can stand no more. Jesus, help. We're going to stand. If you don't mind standing with me right now. And we're going to worship. Worship is an interesting word. We don't use it in very many places except in church. And it means to ascribe value or worth to something. We're going to take a few moments. We're going to ascribe value and worth to God, to Jesus, King of the universe. And if you're being squeezed by a python this morning, maybe begin to acknowledge and recognize him as greater than you, his value and his worth in your life, and watch what happens.
Thank you again for tuning into this week's talk. If you want to hear more from Church on the Ridge, check us out on our website at churchontheridge.org/talks or subscribe to our channel wherever you listen to podcasts. We also want to keep you inspired and in the know about what's going on here at Church on the Ridge. Check out our Facebook and Instagram pages where you'll receive daily content that will help encourage you in your walk with Christ and keep you informed about what's going on at Church on the Ridge. Until next time, have a great week.